So this is Dave Guss. How many of you know Dave Guss? Yeah. He was actually here last week. I don't see him here today. There he is. He's like, don't embarrass me, bro. Okay, so you guys know him. We always want to make sure that we're reading testimonies of people that are here, because that's another critique is people like, oh, I know somebody who lives in Africa. No, this is somebody sitting right here. So this is his testimony. I got it all typed out so I don't mess it up. You ready? It's exciting. I'm excited. Dave was admitted to Copley Hospital by ambulance and diagnosed with pneumonia and elevated troponin. It did not take long for the medical staff to decide to stick a long tube down his throat so he could breathe. Some family members reached out to me, Josh, wondering if Dave had ever discussed any end-of-life wishes, whether to be kept alive on machines or not. So this is obviously a grave situation. I informed them that no such discussions have ever taken place. Several days later, two people from Seven Mountains and two people from Dave's previous church went up to see him and laid hands on him for healing. At this point, a family member was still trying to communicate with Dave through pictures and written words if he wanted to be kept alive on machines or not. Once the prayer teams left the hospital, within a couple hours, Dave physically removed the breathing tube from his throat. He was unaware that he even did this as he was heavily sedated. It is important to note that prior to Dave removing his own breathing tube, that the doctors reported that there was so much damage to his lungs and heart that even if the pneumonia and infection cleared up, they would still never remove the tube because he would die. Once Dave removed the tube, they had him on face mask oxygen. When I asked why it had been 8 hours and Dave wasn't dead yet, as the doctors had stated, I was informed from a family member that Dave did harm to himself by pulling out his breathing tube because his breathing levels were dropping constantly and were currently at 87. If his levels fell below 70s, the doctor would have to retube him or he will die. That never happened. Within days, the doctors said that they were no longer planning to put the breathing tube back in as his breathing levels were good. The next time I saw Dave at Copley on a Friday, we were having coffee together. He was sitting in his recliner and we were chatting away. Dave expressed he didn't want to go to any rehab in the city, and I agreed with him. He advocated for himself not to go to rehab. 2 days later, Dave was released from the hospital and came home. Through this ordeal, he has quit smoking. And he was back with his 7MC family last Sunday. All praise and glory to Jesus Christ the healer. Isn't that awesome? I love it. I love it. And like I said, like, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, we were at family night and I asked Diane, since she was a nurse. I'm like, is it common for someone just out of nowhere to decide to pull this giant tube out of their throat? And she's like, well, it's not unheard of, but it's very rare. So, because I didn't want to give a false testimony. It's like, I don't know, maybe people pull their breathing tubes out all the time. So, and I mean, the fact that he was sedated, he had the strength to do that, like, I think it is all Jesus. Amen. It's so awesome. Thank you, Dave, for letting us share your testimony. You're the man. Today, we're going to be talking about loving the truth. I believe, and I think if you guys just walk around for long enough, you see it, we live in a world that does not love the truth. In fact, we live in a world that the purpose of the ongoing, I would say from the top down, the ongoing American thing, whatever that is, I don't know if you want to call it the American dream anymore, from the top down, it's lies. It's all lies. And it trickles down. I mean, you have politicians all the time. I mean, it used to be the joke that, like, how do you know when a lawyer is lying? His lips are moving.
Like, this is such a bad joke.
It's like pretty much the same thing with politicians now. You know, I know there's some diehard Trump supporters out there. I voted for the guy twice, but you know, he's not perfect and he's not making all the best decisions either. He's doing, I think, what he thinks is best, but there's just all kinds of stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about. But if you didn't know, your news media, other than if you find some alternative ones, pretty much lies to you on a regular basis. Let me say it like this. I think it's important to highlight something specifically in culture. I don't care if it's controversial, but a lot of times people will say, well, the Bible's not relevant today, or how does it speak to current cultural issues? And I mean, that's again a lie that somebody's believing. But I'm going to pick a real easy one because the Lord actually gave me this message before the court situation played out. But I'm just going to be real about the level of not loving truth and actually loving lies. How many of you know who Carmelo Anthony is? Okay, if you don't, I'm going to tell you really quickly. And this is not bringing politics. I'm pointing out a legitimate, real-life situation that just happened where people love lies and are not seeking truth. Carmelo Anthony went to a track meet with a knife, and he was over at one of the other teams' tents taunting them. He was asked to leave multiple times. He didn't leave. Austin Metcalf got up to do something about it. Carmelo Anthony already had the knife drawn, and as soon as Austin Metcalf went towards him, he stabbed him in the chest, and Austin Metcalf was dead. That's the facts of the situation. So then, of course, this goes to trial. All of the witnesses, no matter what the color of their skin was, it was multiple skin colors, all corroborated the same story. Carmelo Anthony was the one that was taunting. He was the one that came over to the other tent, and the knife was already drawn. It wasn't he was being attacked, and he couldn't stop, and he pulled it out in self-defense. It was drawn. He was ready to start a fight and then end it. So once the trial started, all the witnesses, all the testimonies that ever came forward, it took the jury only 3 hours to come back with a guilty verdict, as it should have been. Carmelo Anthony got 35 years, which he will probably be out in half of that, for taking a young man's life, intentionally. That's not the part that's not loving truth. Here's the part that's not loving truth. This situation has been labeled a modern-day lynching by giving this kid, because he's black, 35 years. It's called a modern-day lynching. We're talking about people that were already protesting. BLM was there. The Black Panthers were there. All of this basically saying this was all racist. And the fact that we gave this kid 35 years talks about how we are racist to the core. There was also things that were released that says that it was an all-white jury, which is a lie. And then you went to people outside. They're yelling at other people. They're getting in other people's faces. They're talking about rioting. They're talking about, like, we hate white people and all of this nonsense. All because, let's take race out of it, a kid wanted to start a fight with another kid. He had a knife. He was planning on using that knife. He did use that knife. It ended a life, and now he's paying the price for that. But there is outrage that basically this kid should not have faced one day of jail time with lies about the jury list, lies about how we're a racist society. It's crazy to me. But we love lies. And the media loves to spin the lies, because as long as we believe the lie, then we will believe lies like the color of our skin, we should be on opposite ends and hate each other. That's being spun by the media. The lies are that we could never be one. We're either in this group, we're in the alphabet people group, we're in the the Christian group, we're in the Muslim group, we're in all of these different groups. Instead of Jesus calling us in to be one in Christ, When we are in Christ, the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female, Scythian, Creed. We are one in Christ. That's the Christian way. It's not camps. It's not divide. It's not hate on one another. So I want to talk about today about loving the truth and how important the truth is. So let's start off with the first scripture. It's going to be on the screen. Otherwise, you can look it up in your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from the NIRV, the New International Reader's Version. It's also in your notes. But you want to get your Bibles open, because after this scripture, we're going to read a longer passage of scripture that I didn't want to put up like 20 slides and stress out my pro-presenter person. So we're actually just going to read those from scripture. In 2 Thessalonians 2, this is in the context of the church in Thessalonica wondering if they missed the day of the Lord, the return of Christ. So Paul says, let no one deceive you, not a spirit, not a message, not a letter, as if from us, that the day of the Lord has come and gone. And then he starts to talk about the things that will happen leading up to the day of the Lord, the return of Christ, like the great falling away. If you've ever heard the term apostasy, that's what that is. It's a great falling away from the faith. He talks about that there will be the man of lawlessness. There's the mystery of sin or the mystery of lawlessness, but then will appear the man of lawlessness. Other names for him are Antichrist, the beast in Revelation, all the same person. So I just wanted to let you know the context of this. And then Paul talks about that in the last days, that basically people will stop believing the truth and they will get into lies that are just so great that we can't even imagine. Can I be honest? Like, I don't know how we can become any more delusional. If you think that there are like 70 genders, you are delusional. If you think that love is love and anybody can marry anybody, including your pet, I mean, this stuff is going on. And people could say, well, how did it get this bad? The thing is, it happens subtly. I am not old enough to remember, but I remember seeing older movies. That in older movies, what they would do is, if there was a scene that a husband and wife were obviously the actors, but they were acting as a husband and wife. I think they did this in Lassie. Anybody remember Lassie? All right. Like the old black and white Lassie. So when it would show Timmy's mom and dad, like, discussing things at the end of the day, it looks like they're laying in bed together. I mean, they're fully clothed. They got their pajamas on. But back then, they would have to shoot, like, the woman in a separate bed, the man in a separate bed, and then they'd splice it together because that's just not appropriate. But for acting's sake, we can put it to, we can splice the film so we don't have to compromise anything morally, but we need to put it together because a husband and wife go to sleep in the same bed. Imagine going from that to where we are now. I mean, today we would talk about that, like in sitcoms and different things that were in the 80s or 90s, it was very common for people to just say, like, oh, we're just moving from partner to partner to partner. And even at that time, many Christians were like, this isn't healthy, this isn't good, this isn't portraying a correct lifestyle. But now where we are, we think that's small potatoes. We think it's not a big deal because now we have, you know, the alphabet community and all of these other things that are so much worse. We have pride parades and people dressed in the most inappropriate things. So now looking back and going, oh, old sitcoms, those, that wasn't a big deal. It started somewhere. The lie that we can have relationship, man and woman, outside of marriage, outside of the context of marriage, could have a physical relationship. That was the lie we bought into. One of the many lies we bought into, and it has just ballooned since then. So now we can say, oh yeah, but it's crazy. There's 70 genders. That's denying science. Well, we had to believe a lie somewhere along the road. We didn't go from it's inappropriate for a man and a woman to be together outside of the context of marriage. We didn't jump for, oh, maybe we'll compromise on that, to 70 genders. Do you guys hear what I'm saying on this? Like, it's what do they say? It's the frog, when you put him in the warm water and you slowly turn it up, the frog will sit there and cook. If you throw him in hot water, he jumps out right away. But if you put him in mild temperature water and just slowly turn up the heat, he'll sit there and he will cook. That's what's going on. I know that this seems graphic, this seems harsh, but this is the world that we live in. And it's getting worse. So in the last days, again, the context of the last days, before the coming of the Lord, this is what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. He says, people who are dying will be fooled by this evil. Fooled, there can be the word deceived. These people are dying because they refuse to love the truth. The truth would save them. We're going to see in the rest of the scriptures that truth saves us. And we're even going to see that when you believe lies, you might not know who your father is. And these are the words of Jesus. So this is where you're going to need your Bibles. Let's go ahead and put the scripture up there. So we're going to be in John chapter 8. Starting at verse 31. Now, while you're going there, we're all growing in our walk. I'm not saying if you don't believe every bit of the truth, like, you're on the road to hell. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying, could we all agree that as we're reading the word, as we're following Jesus, there's going to be things that Jesus says that are challenging to our own lifestyle choices? That maybe we're actually in a bad lifestyle choice right now, didn't even realize it was sin. Now we see it in the Bible, and now we have a decision to make. Am I going to get out of that? Or I'm just going to continue in it and I'll just skip over that part in the Bible where you actually see truth in the Bible and you choose to ignore it. That's not loving the truth. As believers, all of us should read the Word, and anything that the Word says that is contrary to our lives, the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that whatever we do. You hear the word repentance a lot. That's what it means. Repent means change your mind, change your direction. Oh, I didn't know that this was wrong. Now I've read it. I see that it's wrong. I'm not going to do that anymore. Repentance is not, I'm sorry, and then you go and do it again. People think repentance is just saying, I'm sorry. No, repentance is changing your mind. Repentance literally means go the other direction. Change your mind. Meta. Noia. So even in Christianity, there are Christians that have either been indoctrinated at Bible colleges. I'm not saying Bible colleges are bad, but if a Bible college teaches you something that's not in the Word, it's wrong. That Bible college is teaching you wrong. I don't believe anybody in here can't be a rock star Christian. I believe that all of you can be rock star Christians without going to a seminary or a Bible college. Why? Because you all have this. Now, some of you might be like, I don't know how to interpret it. What if I'm reading this correctly? That's why people older than you, people that are before you, have this. And the scary thing is that people that have gone to some of these Bible colleges and seminaries, people trust so much that they must have the right answers. They must have the correct interpretation. And so we don't even crack open our Bibles. We just listen to other teachers and have them tell us what the Word of God says. But what people don't understand is you can pull a verse from here and pull a verse from here and pull a verse from here and put it all together and make it say something totally contrary to anything about Jesus. How do we know this? When I was at Feed My Starving Children, we were driving around. It's funny how many churches in Naperville have a rainbow outside their church, and it's not to remind us that God will never flood the earth again. And this kills me. It's a rainbow sign. I see it common in front of churches, and it says, all are welcome and loved here. So what they're saying is, anybody that doesn't have that sign out there, which would be us, that all are not welcome and loved here. And how many of you know that that's not true? We will bring in and have people here of every walk of life. Jesus took people where they were at. Now, we can welcome you and we can love you, but our goal of welcoming and loving you is to love you into wholeness and completeness. Jesus did not say, I get you. Remember those commercials? Everybody thought they were so cool at the Super Bowl. He gets us. It's awful. Like, I like that commercial. Well, stop it. It's not biblical. Yes, he gets us. He understands, but he's not leaving us where we're at. He's here to love us into repentance. There is a scripture in the Bible that says his kindness leads us to repentance. So he's not being kind for the sake of kind. He's being kind because that's who he is, and it leads you to change your mind about certain things. He gets us just simply means like, I'm just in this situation. I'm in a really bad situation. Jesus is like, I get you, bro. And walks away. No, he's gonna get down with you in the mud to love you out of the mud. But this whole, you know, rainbow, all are welcome here, all are loved here. What they're saying is you can come in here and we will never teach anything out of the word that is contrary to your lifestyle. In fact, we will purposely avoid those scriptures. That is believing the lie. I'm not saying that you bring people in from different walks in life and specifically preach at them about their sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But people that are coming to Christ, we should be wanting to get better. It's about new life in you. It's not about me trying to fix my life. It's coming to Jesus and saying, I can't do it on my own. I'm ready to go in here and die. And then I come up with new life, and now Jesus lives through me. It's not about my lifestyle choices or what color my skin is or what kind of job I want, who I want to get married, how many kids I want. It's Jesus living through me. You can do all of those other things. You can get married, you can have kids and all of that kind of stuff, but it should also be Spirit-led. I know too many people that were like, I was just so in love and now I'm not anymore, and going, was God in any of that? So we need to love the truth. And Jesus is going to tell us how important that is. So you should have had plenty of time now to get John chapter 8, verse 31. So again, the NIRV. Jesus spoke to the Jews who had believed him. This is important. So again, when we're like talking about, are there Christians out there that are not believing all of the truth? Yes, because this clearly says Jesus spoke to the Jews who had believed him, past tense. Now let's see what Jesus has to say. If you obey my teaching, he said, you are really my disciples. Like, are you really his disciple? Well, apparently the answer to that is if you obey his teaching. Why? Because his teaching is truth. So he's saying if you believe the truth and walk in the truth and follow the truth, you are truly his disciple. Look what he says. If you're like, well, maybe you're interpreting that a little from the text you're reaching. Well, look at verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. So he's listening. He's saying, if you obey my teachings, what does that mean? Believe. Obey simply means you hear it, you believe it, and you live it. Right? If young people, if the truth is, before you do anything in the morning, the truth in your family is your bed must be made, your room must be picked up, like you need to hear the truth and obey the truth, or there are going to be consequences, right? Right? So the truth may be in your family, and it may not be. I don't know. Maybe it just has to be like picked up before noon. But there are truths in your family. There are things set in place that you have to hear your parents, and then you have to obey. And obey just simply means I hear my parents and I trust what they're telling me is truth. This is the same thing. Jesus is saying, if you obey my teachings, then you really are my disciples. You can't just say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. And if you're not doing what Jesus is telling you, Jesus is saying you're not. This is a constant reminder. He doesn't say you'll know them by their confession. He says you'll know them by their what? Fruits. What they do, how they act, how they live. That is the sign of you heard and you obeyed. And so he says, if you obey me, you're really my disciple, then you will know the truth. Why then? Because his teachings are truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's the thing. Why does truth set us free? You know what the truth is? Your life doesn't belong to you. You know what the truth is? You are here to shine. The truth is, you are here to love your enemies. The truth is, what you want doesn't matter. The truth is, you're here to serve other people. The truth is, nobody owes you a thing. The truth is that we're not supposed to owe anybody anything except to love one another. And I could go on for hours. But what are the lies we believe? Where's my rights? I have rights as an American. I have this right. I have this right. Me, me, me. I. That is not truth. That's a lie that you believed in culture. It is contrary to the teachings of Jesus. So the decision that we all have to make as a family is, did we hear Jesus and did we obey it? Did we hear Jesus and change our minds? Because to live as a Christian is totally contrary to the rest of the world. And let me say this, not to live as a Christian, to live as Christ is actually contrary to most Christianity. Like, man, that's a really harsh statement. It's the truth. I mean, would you say that Jesus' standard is pretty high? There's nowhere in Scripture that we're not supposed to meet that standard. Well, how do you do that? You die to yourself and realize that that standard is actually on the inside of you and he wants to live it through you. We call that the Holy Spirit. So living in the truth is actually not that difficult if we were just not so selfish. If self was dead. Because anytime something doesn't happen, it's like, well, you don't understand the situation. I don't have to understand the situation. Are you loving? Are you dead in that situation? Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. What about what Jesus went through? Do you see how everything we turned it around us? We saw it in the garden, right? Eve listens to the snake, gives some to her husband. God's like, Adam, where are you? Well, Lord, I hid because I was naked. He's making it all about him. We hid because we were naked. He's like, how do you know that you're naked? Did you eat of the fruit? Guys, do not take this example from Adam. It was that woman you gave me. That's literally what he says. You go and read it. It was that woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit. And the woman, is this true? It was the snake. Blame shifting, not owning responsibility, pride, ego, all of this stuff. Self was born in the fall. You know, before the fall, they were just like tending the garden. They were just hanging out. They were naked and they didn't even know it. I'm sure they could eat as much food as they want and they never gained weight. Their bodies were perfect. And their only job was to tend the garden, take care of the animals, and have lots of babies. That seems like a really great deal. And we blew it, and now it's about self and my wants and my needs and my desires. And God, I know you're up there. I'll fit you in my schedule somewhere. It's all about us. So when Jesus says something, it's like, well, what does this have to do with truth? Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So the truth is anything Jesus said. Again, dying to self, your life does not belong with you, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. These are all truths. And he's saying, if you could just wrap your mind around this, you'll actually be free. Because if you could get to the place where you were never selfish anymore and you just lived as a humble servant of people, then people aren't going to get under your skin anymore. It's not going to bother you when people talk about you because that has nothing to do with you because you're just living Christ. So if they're being mean to you, it's probably because they're antichrist. Do you see that if we could just get it around? Everything that we do is emotionally is all from a place of selfishness. It's all there. And so if we could get rid of selfishness and just realize that we're here to serve, that we're here to love, then things wouldn't bother us anymore. And if they do, then you need to realize, man, that part of me needs to die. This is the truth that Jesus came to bring. How do we know that? I don't see Jesus complaining about people. I don't see Jesus whining to his disciples about how, you know, I healed this person, and then they went off and did all of this stuff. They didn't even follow me. They just wanted their quick healing. He doesn't talk about any of this. He doesn't talk about this person coming to me or this person coming here, and then they got what they want and they lead it. These people are so selfish. Jesus doesn't talk about that way about anybody. He's simply here to serve us, to love us, and ultimately to give his life for us. And then he says, follow me. That's the truth. And if you know that truth and you can get it in your mind and begin to live it, you'll begin to be free. It doesn't say the truth will make you free. It says the truth you know will make you free. He doesn't say the truth will make you free. He says you will know the truth and then the truth will make you free. Well, who is the truth? Jesus. So maybe we should know the truth rather than know about truth. All right, let's go on. I got stuck on that verse. So they answered him after he said, you'll be set free with the truth that you know. They answered him, said, we are Abraham's children. We've never been slaves of anyone. So how can you say that we will be set free? The irony here is they are under currently, as that person is talking, the occupation of Rome. Rome is ruling them. And they're like, we've never been slaves to anybody. Like, you're literally living under Roman rule. So that guy is confused. Jesus replied, what I'm about to tell you is true. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave has no lasting place in the family. But a son belongs to the family forever. So if the Son of Man, which this is Jesus talking about himself, so if the Son of Man sets you free, you will really be free. I know that you are Abraham's children, but you are looking for a way to kill me. You have no room for my word. Remember, it says that he's talking to Jews who believed him. But now he's going to new levels, and now they're backing off. I'm telling you, what I saw when I was with my father. So he's saying, everything I'm telling you is from God. He says, you are doing what you have heard from your father. They cried out, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, are you really Abraham's children? If you are, you would do what Abraham did. But you are looking for a way to kill me. I am a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do the things that you want to do. You are doing what your father does. So he keeps talking about this, who is their father, and they keep saying, Abraham's our father. Now they're going to push even back even harder. We have the right to claim we are God's children, they objected. The only father we have is God. So they started off as Abraham is our father. Jesus is like, Abraham's not your father because Abraham didn't want to kill anybody. But killing, murderous spirit is in your heart. That's what he's basically saying. So then they're like, fine. But God is our father. Look what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why aren't my words clear to you? You ever had a discussion with somebody and you're just giving them the word of God and they're just staring at you with a deer in the headlight look? It's a real reality. He says, Jesus says, why aren't my words clear to you? Because you can't really hear what I say. Now here's where it gets real, real fast. This is the words of Jesus. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to obey your father's wishes. From the beginning, the devil was a murderer. He has never obeyed the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his natural language. He does this because he is a liar. He is the father of lies. So Satan is a murderer. And when he speaks lies. He's the father of lies. It's his natural language. And it says that he has never obeyed the truth. Verse 45, but because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Can any of you prove I am guilty of sinning? Am I not telling the truth? Then why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. You can imagine if they already wanted to kill him after he said all that, they really wanted to kill him now. But he's telling the truth, right? And this is an interesting thing that he says. He compares lies or deception, not compares, contrasts lies and deception with truth. Truth is God, right? Truth, we know truth is God because truth is Jesus. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. He's the reality. Truth is always the word reality. So when he comes to talk to us, he says, listen, I'm not telling you, you know how the phrase again, our terrible culture, speak your truth. There's no your truth, it's the truth. Jesus is not speaking his truth. He's speaking the Father's truth. But the Father and him are one, and he is the truth, so he can't not say the truth. Does that make sense? Like, God the Father is truth. Everything that comes out of God's mouth is truth. Jesus is the messenger, but he's also God. And so that's why he says things like, why are you getting mad at me? I'm not speaking on my own. I'm only telling you what the Father has told me. I'm just a messenger, right? We used to have, maybe, I don't know if the phrase gets used anymore, don't shoot the messenger, right? I'm just delivering the message. So if Jesus is saying it, it's truth. And so what is the truth in this idea here? In this discourse, he's saying this. If you have hate in your heart, if you have murder in your heart, if you can't see the truth, if you can't know the truth, if the truth is in front of you and you're rejecting your truth, you are of your father, the devil. And again, I'm not talking about all truth. I'm not talking about Christians who are on a journey, knowing the word, seeing truth, and letting it change your life. But I'm talking about people that reject the truth, people that are in this world right now rejecting. Maybe, and this is going to touch home, I know, blood family members, friends, that you are giving them the truth. You're not even giving them your opinion. You are giving them the word of God, and they are rejecting it. Like the opening scripture says in 2 Thessalonians, there will come a day when the grace door that is open, the I could come to the truth, I could repent, that there is going to be a day where that door will shut forever. And then the Bible talks about that a strong delusion will come to take the already delusional, unsaved people that rejected the truth to a whole kind of delusional level so that basically all amount of deceptions and lies and delusion will be complete. And that will be the time that the Antichrist is here and all of that. But there's going to be time where the grace door will shut. And that's not because God is a bad guy. I mean, we're going on 2,000 years here of our grace new covenant. But that time's coming to an end. I don't know when it's going to come to an end. Like I said, I look around with the delusion and the deception that's going on right now, and I'm like, Lord, how much worse could it get? But it's probably going to get a whole lot worse. So we need to love the truth. We need to be people that say, I'm going to read the Word. When I read the New Testament to understand my covenant, I'm going to understand who God is because I look at Jesus. I'm going to understand things that it's God's will to heal because Jesus healed every single time. I'm not going to take my theology from Baptist or Lutheran or Reformed or Catholicism or any kind of other denomination. I'm simply going to read the Word, see who Jesus is, and I'm going to follow him. Jesus healed people, I want to heal people. Jesus prophesied, I want to prophesy. But guess what? It's not just about the gifts. Jesus loved his enemies, I want to love my enemies. Jesus healed the brokenhearted. He set captives free. We should want every aspect of who he is. Why? Because he told us to follow him. Okay, last verse. This is John, and this will be up on the screen. John 17, we use this text a lot. In your Bibles, it might be labeled the high priestly prayer. It's a recorded prayer that Jesus prays to his Father right before he's going to get arrested. I love the whole chapter. You should read all of John 17 and just have your mind blown. But because we're focusing on truth, then we're going to read the part about truth. So John 17, starting at verse 17, says this. This is Jesus praying to the Father. Father, use the truth to make them holy. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. When he says your word is truth, who is Jesus talking about? If Jesus says, Father, your word is truth, who is the word? Jesus. So he's talking about himself. So he's saying, use the truth to make them holy. Your word, speaking about himself, is truth because he is the Father's word. You sent me into the world in the same way I have sent them into the world. I make myself holy for them, so that they too can be made holy by the truth. This verse tells me that Jesus is the Word and he's the truth. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Word and the truth. But he says, use the truth to make them holy. Well, who makes you holy? Jesus. And then he says, your word is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But in the beginning of John chapter 1, it says that he is the Word that has become flesh. And so that's why he says this phrase, I make myself, this is Jesus, I make myself holy for them. So he's saying, I'm making truth holy, I'm making the word holy, because the word is truth. So I make myself holy for them so that they too can be made holy by the truth. We are made holy by the truth. Jesus makes us holy. So Jesus is the Word, he's the truth, and he's what makes us holy. You're not holy because, you know, you have not committed sin yet up until this point that you came to church this morning. That's not what makes you holy. You are holy because he is holy and he lives on the inside of you. That's not an excuse to sin. That's not a license to sin. Because if we know that he lives on the inside of us, he needs to be living through us, and Jesus was without sin. The Bible says that we're supposed to walk even as he walked, which means live your life as he lived his life. But you can't do that unless you know who you are, you know the truth about who you are, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of God revealed. And so if you know Jesus lives in you, you know you're a son of God or a daughter of God, and that in Ephesians 5, it says, imitate God as loved children, then your whole purpose, I'm going to end with this, your whole purpose on this planet is to be Christ to people. That's it. That's your whole purpose. Well, yeah, but what about my destiny? What about this? Your whole purpose is to be Christ to people. Your whole purpose is to imitate God here on the earth. You may be the only Jesus that some people meet. why are you like that? Why are you so loving? Why are you so caring? Why do you care about me? Why this? What? Do you want to know? Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm trying to introduce you to Jesus. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm trying to say our goal should be living as Christ. As he is, so are we in this world.